And I just wrote a few, 8 pages, a few notes, really, to go through, because I sort of felt the Lord saying to me, you know, you need to share more than just photographs, but some of the journey that you've had over the last, since April. How many months is that, Dennis? Oh, where are we? I don't even know where we are. October. 6 months then. So I can still calculate.
6 months.
So, and I wasn't intending to do that. I was going to just, you know, show the pictures and that. But and some of my friends were saying to me, why do you do this? You know, every time you go to Paraguay, you get ill. You get chest infection. You get bitten. I've got scars about my arms from bites and, you know. And I said, it's because I love people. And I think, I guess it's because when I gave my life to Jesus, he filled me with that love for others. And he loves us, and so we love others. And I was reading the message, you know, Corinthians 1:13. It says, love cares more for others than for self. And I think it's true, you know. Well, that's certainly what we should be doing. And I think, yeah, it must be true because of what I'm doing. It's not really easy. It's not a big holiday, even though when I come back for the second, it's a big holiday. but yeah, and it's not because I think God will love me anymore, because we're not saved through deeds. We're saved, obviously, by grace. But I love people, and he's given me, thankfully, that heart to love others. And I've always loved children, and I always wanted children, and I just feel God's probably given me a heart for those kids. Yes. But also, more importantly, I think he's given me a heart for those that are less fortunate. So it's not just kids. And some of the greatest insights on what it means to love someone comes from the letters of Paul. And again, reading the message of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first. It doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel. Love takes pleasure in the flowering of truth and puts up with anything. So, God, trusting God, and God always looks out for the best in us. He never looks back at the things we've done. He never looks at us in disgrace. You know, he just keeps going to the end, and the love he has for us never dies. And as I say, I wasn't planning to talk about this, but as I was writing, I just felt God saying, yeah, share it. Now going back to April this year, I'm sure you all remember how I was. And I was in a bad place. Now, the reason is, why was I in a bad place? Because I was doing what God had called me to do. And I believe that the enemy knew exactly how near I was to completing God's will for my life. And he wanted to crush me. Now, he knows our weaknesses. He knows every single one of our weaknesses. And so he puts people in our way to do his work. The first time in Scripture when anyone was tempted was in Genesis 3, where the serpent questioned the woman, did God really say you mustn't eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? And its fruit looked delicious, so she ate it. Now, he whispers in your ear that surely it's okay to do this and that. He's out to blind you to all the good things that God's got for your life. And he uses different methods depending on the individual, because we've all got our different weaknesses. And reading James 1, verse 14, it says, each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own particular desires and enticed. And any weakness that's constantly indulged, excused, denied or hidden has the power to enslave you. And I really believe that's true. And I think failure to identify and target your weakness strengthens the enemy. Yeah. Ignoring your areas of vulnerability makes defeat inevitable. Satan has assigned certain people to feed your weakness. Mm. We're often told to be discerning. Our weaknesses will be drawn to any friendship that accepts it. And when I give in to my weaknesses, I begin to surround myself with people who do the same things, or at least willing to turn a blind eye and look the other way. And I know that that's not right, but who wants anyone to tell them that you're doing wrong when we're supposedly having fun? You know, it's not hurting anybody else. Anyway, so while struggling with my dissertation and asking God for help, I'd hit rock bottom. I cried, and I cried out to him, and I just didn't feel that he was listening. So, and one night I felt the Lord say to me that he would honour me if I honoured him. And I realised at that time I wasn't really honouring him, you know. And going back to the, and this is what reminded me of it, going back to the pictures of me with one foot in Brazil and one foot in Argentina, I've got one foot in the kingdom and I've got one foot in the world. And you can't keep going like that for long. You can do it for a while. You can talk yourself and talk everybody else out that you're this, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm living this life. But I knew in my heart that I wasn't completely, you know, being right with God. So I decided to go away to my Bible college where I studied and where I worked to get close to him and write my dissertation. And after a few days of trying, I just completely broke. So my conclusion at that time was, I can't do it. I need to take at least 6 months to a year out of that course, and I need to just be me. So that was my decision. I made an appointment with my tutor for the Monday, and on the Friday night, my friend received a text from a friend of hers from school who is a pastor in London, and she said, we've got a guest speaker, would you like to come? So Sue said to me, shall we go? Yeah, okay, why not, you know. I really, really prayed that God would speak to me, because I'd really been asking and I didn't seem to get a lot of answers, you know. And so we went, and we were the only white people in this church, and we were like, oh dear, you know, you're kind of a bit scared really, but at the same time, it's like, well, we're all worshipping, yes, we're here, you know, for one reason. And the pastor began to preach, and he was constantly referring to Ephesians, where it says about putting on that armour of God. Mm-hmm. And that's always, whenever I've started to have a bit of a wobble, that's what scriptures always come to me, whether it be through friends or just opening the Bible or reading a daily reading. I thought, yeah, I need to put on that armour. I need to put on that belt of truth. I need to put that shield of faith and keep the arrows from getting to me. And as I was thinking it, this pastor just came out and he said, you. He said, the enemy has been attacking you, he said. He has been attacking your mind, he has been attacking your heart, and he has been attacking your body. He said, you must not listen to him. He said, you are so close to completing what God has for you. You must carry on. And they're, amen, 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 amen. So what are you going to do? So I'm going to carry on. He didn't know anything about me. But that was confirmation that I needed to carry on. And that was, oh, Lord. And, you know, when somebody, if Jean says to me, oh, Andrew, you've got to carry on. Dennis, you've got to carry on. Anybody, they're close to you. You know they know you, they love you. And you start to think, well, they're only saying that because they know me. You know, oh, and you can do it. Well, that's what you think, but I don't think. You know, but when this pastor came out, and I thought, yeah, I've got to carry on. So on the Monday when I met my tutor, obviously I spoke to him, and he said, okay, what's all this about you want to stop? I said, well, actually, I'm not now, because this pastor spoke to me on Friday night, and he was like, and I ended up giving him my testimony,
yes,
and the whole, you know, what happened, and he was like, oh! So, you know, that was good in itself, because yes, if it had only been for him to hear, yeah, what God has spoken, it would have been great. So, you know, going back, obviously I carried on, and I'm graduating on Tuesday, so you all know the rest. So, yeah, so that's Tuesday at Peterborough.
Tell them what I've got. I don't want to boast, but I'll boast in the Lord.
Well, when I was, I've worked it out that I'd got a 2-1, and so I was quite chuffed, but not 100% chuffed, because I thought, oh, I wanted a first. Some of my friends had got a first, and I thought, oh, I've worked so hard. But why wouldn't he want to honour his daughter and give her a first? Well, you know, maybe that's, you know, a bit prosperity, gospel-like, you know. But when I was in Paraguay, the results came out, and I got a first! Which is great, great job. Because I miscalculated one of the modules, so that was great. And yeah, that is amazing. And I've said all along, if I pass, it will be a miracle. The fact that I passed with a first is even more of a miracle. So yeah. So yeah, I mean, going back to Luke 10, verse 19, it says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, and to overcome the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you.
Amen.
So when we're under attack, we need to understand the physical and mental strength that Luke is talking about. It takes years, if not a lifetime, to become spiritually mature. And how often we fail, we must get back up. Proverbs 24:16 says, though a righteous man falls, 7 times he rises again.
Amen.
And when I was in the village caring for the people and praying with them, I knew this was God's ultimate plan. Having chances to pray with the indigenous people, the Shaman's son and others, was something that I could not have done if I'd have given up. God knew this, and I believe Satan knew this.
Yeah.
So these people needed to know God's word. They needed to meet God's people. And the grade we get isn't important. It's great, but it's not important.
Yeah.
But finding out that was just an added blessing.
Yes.
And I think one thing I've learned through all of this is that how we overcome our weakness. Is that through willpower? No. It's through God's power. And this power is available to all of us. So if you're in a situation now where you need help, just ask him to help you. But mind that you are fully in his kingdom, and not one foot in his and one foot in the world. You know, sex, drugs, porn, lust, unfaithfulness and unforgiveness is all work of the world of the enemy.
Yes.
And if we're to be in him, we must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that's, you know, it's often said, we must be transformed. It's not about coming to church and having a fun time. We must renew our minds. And yeah, it takes time, and we do fall from time to time. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'll never be perfect until I get to heaven, hopefully, then. But, you know, today, if what I'm saying is speaking to you, then just take time to say sorry, come to him, repent. Because when we're saved, we are saved. And that's what I've learned. It's a valuable lesson that I've passed on to many of the teenagers, those that have left the orphanage and that have fallen by the wayside. And then feel that I'm not doing God's word, so I'm out of the kingdom. I'm out of the orphanage, I'm out of the kingdom, I've got nothing. But what I've said was actually, you are worth something. Amen. God still loves you despite what you've done. Just come back to him. Be surrounded by Christian, real Christian people. So, Satan hath desired to have you. Jesus told Peter, but I have prayed for thee, for thy faith fail not, and when thou art coveted, strengthen thy brethren. So I hope that by sharing today will help some of you avoid failing, and also some of those facing temptations. So I've certainly learned that when I say I can't do it, that if I draw strong to God, he can do it.
Yes.
Because with him I can do anything.
Yes.
So we've all got areas of vulnerability, which if not disciplined by character and commitment, have the potential to defeat or even destroy us. So what can you do? One, recognise it. Before you yield to temptation, you usually go through certain stages. By neglecting prayer and Bible reading, we become indifferent to God, insensitive to danger, and find ourselves drawn like a moth to a flame. Then we begin to rationalise, and this is what I did, we begin to rationalise our disobedience and think nobody knows, what harm will it do? And the more you silence the voice of conscience, the stronger your carnal appetites become. Jesus said, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Pray for strength before the temptation comes. Reach for help. When Jehoshaphat came up against the enemy, too big to handle alone, he prayed, we have no power against this great multitude, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon him, or on you, sorry. Jehoshaphat knew he was no match for the enemy, and he knew who to turn to for help. So what's the secret of victory? Lean less on yourself and more on God. Yeah. As we come to sharing communion, I think just let us remember how much God loves us so much that he gave his son to die for us. Who else do you know that would do that?
Okay. Thank you.